Town of Monroe Zoning Board, 22nd of July, 2020.
Okay, we do. I see our first applicant is on our list of attendees here, so anytime you're ready.
Okay, we'll call this meeting to order. And I'll ask the board members that were present to review the minutes of the June 24th meeting and make a decision.
Tim, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, we can hear you just fine. The board's just going through the minutes of the prior meeting, and we'll be with you momentarily.
Okay.
Very good. Everybody had a chance to read them?
Yes.
Okay. I'm sorry. Trying to go fast. I see my name on there a lot, so I want to kind of make sure.
Do you have another voucher, Jim?
I'm sorry, yes.
I'll make a motion to approve the June 24th meeting's minutes.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And I abstain because that wasn't you.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. So, we'll move on to the first appeal, which is appeal number 828, which is a request of Timothy Rich of 122 Fort Edward Road, Monroe, New York, 12820, for an area variance pursuant to Chapter 149, Article 5, Section 149-59A of the Town Law 267B, applicant proposing to construct a garage that will not need to require side yard setback in R3-1 and 2 family residential agricultural zoning district. This property is located at 64.2-11 on the town assessment map. And I understand Mr. Rich is there. Can you tell us what you're doing to summarize?
I'm just looking to build a personal garage. I just bought this house just over a year ago. And I moved up here from Hoosick. I originally grew up over in Hudson Falls, but I've been there for a while. I had a garage down there about the same size, and this was just a perfect piece of property of that club, and the only name that's going to garage, and I said, no problem, I'll build one in the future. And that's what I'm just trying to do. I'm just, I use constructions for a living. While working on my own vehicles, I have a collection of trucks. I've got four of them. I got a couple of old square bodies and a couple of new ones. I don't believe in paying garages when I can do the work myself.
Okay.
Just trying to build something I can work in.
So it's a garage for your personal use. It's for your personal storage of your personal vehicle.
Absolutely.
Okay. So
it
fits in with the zoning here as far as the road. I noticed you've got there's a special use permit attached to this, but I think that's just kind of overkill, is that right?
Right.
So we're really not looking for a special use permit, we're just looking for an area.
Correct. Yeah. And I think he indicated there's a septic system on the other side of the house on his map.
Mm-hmm. We've got a septic system that is, not even 10 feet off the house on the other side. Plus, I have a ravine with the mini brook running through it.
On that side?
Yeah, on the other side, on the same side from the septic system. Okay. It's actually, it's an old military road, I was told. Hmm. They used to go down to the river or something. It goes all the way down back to the river.
So we're looking for a 9.2 foot variance for which is from the overhead, just so you understand, from the roof.
Yes.
And just looking at the staff notes here, it's a 46% relief from the setback. And you're the land next to you, the property is not a residential property. It's a, what is that, land is a General Electric Company, is that?
Yes, there's 78 feet that they own that goes all the way back to the power lines. That separates me and my neighbor. And I spoke to him, but he has absolutely no problem with me being built on the garage.
Do we have any correspondence on this?
No, it was properly advertised, but we received no correspondence. I do have a couple of people on here I can explore. You know, I see the, I can find out if they're here for this hearing or not when you open it. I have a Charlene and a Tim Barber, so.
Looking at the staff notes in terms of the area variance requirements, it seems there's nothing. As far as you want an attached garage, is that correct?
Yes, I'm going to attach it right to my house.
So you can't do that over your septic.
No.
So that's a strict application. Okay. And it's a fairly large garage. It's 32 by 32, I guess. It's not huge by any means. But cutting that down in size by 9 feet would actually be quite small, I think.
Yeah, I mean, but the trucks, he's using it for trucks. I would say that's why he wants a bigger garage. Yeah.
And they're trucks for personal use.
Mm-hmm.
So high.
Mm-hmm. I got two lifted trucks. One sits on 44s and got a deluxe truck, and then my other one is a daily driver, but that also sits on 37-inch tires.
Mm-hmm.
So they're fairly large trucks, is why I'm looking to build a big garage.
Makes sense. That kind of answers the question of the strict application dimensional requirements. I mean, the only way you can meet those dimensional requirements on that side of the building would be to reduce the width of the building by quite a bit, by 9.5 feet. So that makes sense to not do so, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And any board member that wishes to disagree or agree with that, speak up. So the first requirement. The second requirement is the question of how substantial the requested variance is in relation to the requirements. And we've established it's about a 46% relief. So that's our threshold has always been 50%. But this is below that, but still fairly substantial. But none of this precludes granting. The next is that the difficulty cannot be alleviated by some practical method feasible for the applicant to pursue. it sounds like even if you didn't want it attached, it would be hard to build anywhere else on the property, reasonably. Is that true?
Yes.
Okay.
Just the way the property is cut up, that's the only logical space.
The next is that there be no substantial change in the character of the neighborhood detriment to the adjoining properties. I wasn't able to get down there because it didn't hit me until today that this was part of what we were looking at. But I think that neighborhood has all kinds of different buildings.
There's garages on most all the houses around.
And big ones.
Yes.
Yeah. I think from what I can see. So I don't think that would be substantial.
It would look like everybody else's yard, really.
Yeah. It would not be material detriment to the purpose of this chapter of the property in the district in which the property is located, in the description of the purpose of the district or objectives on the plan of policy. I think that kind of is redundant with number four, because I don't see the difference. Okay, so we've covered that. And I think we can just kind of incorporate the findings and the staff notes with our And I will open the public hearing.
Okay, let me see here. There is a Charlene. She's muted, and she needs to unmute herself if she wants to participate in this. Charlene, if you can hear that, you're muted. You need to unmute yourself. Michael Close, are you here for this? Michael Close, you're also muted. If you can unmute yourself, if you would like to speak.
Mike Close is here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, are you here for this application?
I'm just listening to see how it goes for the appeal number 830 with Jack.
Okay, yeah, that's coming up later on.
Yep. Okay. So I'm just here listening and just be prepared in case there's any questions that are necessary.
All right. Okay. Thanks, Mike. We'll be with you in a little while. Charlene. Charlene, are you here for this application?
No.
Okay. I just wanted to be sure. We'll be having the subsequent public hearings on the applications that are following. And R. Richards, I believe, are you here for the are you here for this application, or are you here for another one? You're muted as well, so you can unmute yourself. R. Richards?
So this is Mike Close. R. Richards.
Okay. I didn't recognize the name right off the top of my head. I just wanted to be sure. Okay, so that's everybody. Yeah, so there's apparently nobody on this here.
So we'll close the public hearing. This doesn't require a speaker.
Correct.
Any further discussion from the board? I have a motion.
I'll make a motion.
Okay.
On appeal number 828, that we grant the requested relief of 9.2 feet or 46% of the setback to the eve, to the, it's always to the eve of the, or not the eve, you know what I'm saying. Yes, thank you. I don't want to say the E, that was wrong. But
the overhang.
The overhang, thank you. The overhang. Drip edge overhang.
The words escape as we get over.
Well, you know that happens.
And I think that it might be appropriate, typically with these, we like to have that distance verified at the point of the footing inspection.
Yes.
As a condition to make sure that
absolutely
the building's not built, and then we have an issue.
We definitely don't want to have it built and then say it's not
right. Right. So
we would put a condition in that with the condition that it has to be inspected when the foundation is planned to verify per drawings that it would meet that setback.
Correct.
Is that 9.2 feet or 9 feet 2 inches?
Yeah, go ahead, Ted.
9.2.
The overhangs are going to be going the same as my house, which will go front to back. So it's going to go straight up on that side.
Okay.
It won't be any.
Okay.
Although that makes it even easier.
Can we just incorporate the findings, findings in the staff report?
Yes. The findings in the staff report support what we're doing.
And the second?
I'll second the motion.
Any discussion? You pull the board.
Mr. Farrell.
Yes.
Yeah, Mr.
Yes.
Sorry. And Mr. Elms?
Yes.
Mr. Fitzsimmons?
Yes.
Chairman?
Okay.
Okay, then you're approved.
Okay, thank you very much, guys.
Okay, thank you. Have a good evening.
Thank you. The next appeal is appeal number 829. This is a review of request of Donald J. Vittenhill of 165 Mansfield Cruiser, New York, 12804, for area variance pursuant to Chapter 149, Article 5, Section 149-59A, and Town Law 267B. Applicant is proposing to expand top notch self storage by constructing a new 25-foot by 200-foot building that will not meet the required side setback in C1 dental commercial zone. The property located at 50-1.1-3.1 in the town assessment map. Do we have a
Yes, Mr. Vittengill is here. Don, you on? Hello, Don?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay, I'm looking to do a 25 by 200 foot building on the south side of the Cosmo. According to the elevation charts, the top of the building proposed was lower than the fence line. The board of property, the part of the property, the property is cut down to the level. Dangerous of the building pretty, where there's just doors on the facing the park, so no doors facing top at all, and the very basically wouldn't be moving any it's just going to be placed on the existing ground back there. We've added to stay out of the stormwater management. So those are in, and that'll carry from this facility was built purposely down the low grade, so we had a lot of runoff. Not a lot of impact to anything really with it, so probably can make it a little more private by blocking the existing lights on ends of the building and stuff. So basically close out the construction project with this one that's broken. Same with Elder. Just like before.
Just a special note, it is a asterisk in the C1 use schedule that when boundaries of a parcel in the C1 district adjoin a residentially zoned property or district, the setback increases to 50 feet. So that's the standard for which this is being, the release is being requested then is 50 feet.
Now we've already had him in the core. We gave him to add this section here, right?
Yeah, that happened, recollection, two or three years ago, I think. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's the one that's also drawn on.
It's drawn in there, yeah.
I think it's indicated as building number 5. That's the one that was approved a couple of years ago.
Wasn't that an issue about this was considered a warehouse?
Well, I don't remember.
I've already looked at that as a zoning administrator, and I don't consider this warehousing.
Yeah.
This is residentially based self storage.
I know that.
And I do remember though that when this came before us the first time, when it was first built, there was a lot of the neighbors did come that lived next door to here with a lot of concerns. And it was that 50 foot was very important to them, and I want to make sure that we were all aware of that, because I do remember that being the same.
Is that part now?
Yes. I wasn't going to give names, but yes. that was who, they were actually here at the meeting.
Yeah.
And were very concerned about us maintaining that 50 feet.
Oh, this 50 feet?
Yes. No, I'm talking about originally. They were here for this in the beginning. We've seen him, this is the third time.
Do we have any comments from the neighbors?
Nothing came in, no, but there is a Charlene on at I don't know if she's here for this hearing or not, but that's the only person we have on.
Easily be my wife, but I didn't see when she
first came. That's not a bad thing. It looks like you got it right home.
Jim, what was this 50 feet specification again?
There is the setback increases to 50 feet. For any parcel in the C1 zone, when that parcel adjoins a residentially zoned parcel. And just across the boundary to the south here is an R1 district.
Okay.
So that's why the 50 feet is invoked.
Okay.
And this be, this is a residential, but as a storage building, is there a category for that in our zoning regulation?
Well, it's the infamous phrase in the C1 zone, you know, business is subject to highway traffic or something to that effect that serves highway traffic. So that's been a large catch-all for a lot of users.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. And we're going to fix that, you know, in the rewrite, but that's still what we have to work with.
Because I do recall and this probably is not that relevant to this particular appeal, but I do recall a storage, this kind of facility, where we looked at it as a warehouse, and that was as close as we could get, because I don't think in our law we have anything.
Yes, yeah.
I think our law predates.
Yeah, there was. I do remember something along that line.
In my mind, there's a lot of difference between this and a warehouse.
Oh, yeah.
A warehouse,
oh,
large, yeah. Large, essentially semi, you know, mm-hmm. trucks, bright lights, you know, 24-hour service potentially. Not that it doesn't happen here, but that was a question I had. Don, do you close this at night?
It is open, but there is rarely anyone through there.
Okay. But this is small vehicle traffic, yeah. And obviously of a residential nature.
So. And I think the issue was also having to look like fire, that the warehouse requires more space.
And certainly what's being stored.
Yeah. Whereas this is, you are restricting what's being stored in the buildings, am I correct? Mr. Bittenhill?
What was that?
Do you restrict what people can store?
For contract, so it's really limited.
On which side would they have access to the units?
He said in his opening statement, so the openings would only be towards the other building,
to
the
center
of the outcome, to the north.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I didn't quite get what you said about the storage of the requirements.
Yeah, you were breaking up a little bit, Don. Can you repeat that?
Yeah, the contents that are stored are definitely restricted per contract. So they'll come in and sign the contract and they say there's nothing flammable, illegal, anything like that. And it is restricted. And I have a man.
I think we're losing you again.
You're comfortable with that turning radius at the end of those to. You know, I mean, if you've got doors opening on this building facing those buildings and people are in there loading or unloading stuff out of that storage space and somebody comes down that row and wants to turn, they're not going to do that.
Yeah. About 35 feet, it looks like, from the end of the... So, pretty much large 8-foot, 30-foot box truck, they can make that turn.
Well, as long as nobody was parked in front of their storage area moving stuff in and out. But if there was somebody diagonally parked in front there unloading something, they wouldn't be able to do that.
Our building right now, we have 21 feet wide. So that's plenty wide for two cars to go at. Someone pulls back the building and anyone. Yeah.
He really is breaking up.
Can you repeat that again, Don? Or break it up again?
Oh, sorry. The distance between the north and south buildings is
4 feet.
Very similar to how the back line is going to be. If someone pulls their car close to their door, it allows for a car to pass by. They don't block them.
Right, but they're not turned. There's a difference when you're driving straight through or coming down here and having to turn. That's different.
Yeah. Well, they move in, I can bring them on how to park the vehicle and put it parallel to the building.
Is this subject to site plan?
Yes.
And it hasn't been yet?
No, it has to be considered for the variance before it can go for site plan.
Face value, you look at this, it's a relatively small building. There are no line buildings. The well-kept business there at the corner is always, you know, a late time. I guess I'm trying to, other than the neighbor next door is the biggest problem with this one, really, but it also is still leaving itself 24 feet for maintenance and other concerns. So I'm just, well, that's why I put in my notes. So I realize there's a fence there, but, you know, in consideration of the 50 feet, if that is, if this is granted, then maybe a mitigating factor would be increased vegetation along that boundary.
What would be the boundary if you wasn't adjacent to a residential property?
Yeah, I believe, believe it or not, I think this being a corner lot where Cobre's, there's two fronts and two sides.
We don't have a side, this would be a side like that.
So I think you see one is only 20 feet.
Yeah. I don't know, I still have a little bit of.
No, I'm sorry, it's 15. So it would only need to be 15 feet for a side setback.
I just am still concerned with it. Let's say, heaven forbid, there was a fire. And people were there with their vehicles, and a fire truck came down there to get to that end of that building. How would they do that? I mean, we always have to think about safety, about the vehicle. I mean, one of the things the fire department wants us to do is to make sure that they always have easy access.
Well, the biggest conversation I've had, they have full access coming down these runs. The biggest turn would be if he actually can make that turn radius with the truck. He's got 21 foot in the air all the way. He'd have to be coming down on the Gander roadside to come around. So we can also make that condition too, as the site plan view. That would be one of their things they'd be looking at, right? Fire truck access would be a conversation.
Yeah, they've been, lately they've been asking for applicants to run their site plan by the fire department.
Yeah.
As a fire chief.
Yeah.
That's
common. That would be smart. Because I think that's pretty, I just feel it's really tight now.
If there was an emergency access off of Gansford Road.
Well, I don't think you could. Well, that would be tough because he was required to put that berm in, and we required that. So we asked him to take out the berm, and then you got that other point of access that does it get gated, and then who's got the key to open the gate? I mean, I know the fire department gets the gate, but I'm just saying that it opens up a lot of different issues.
Yeah, we've been in business for about 16 years there. There has been any incidents, accidents, fires, any theft, anything, whatever you want. We operate the place the way we manage it. We keep hands on, and you can say we're a fire catcher anywhere. I fly a 777 for a living, and we're the fire catches on cargo over the North Pole, you know. So, I mean, it's a very low thing happening.
Could we, is it feasible for us to, if we approved it with the caveat that it had you brought to the fire department first?
Sure.
And if the fire department had no problem with the emergency access, that they didn't feel it was any concern, that it was fine?
Yep.
And if they did have a concern, if we put the brakes on?
Yep. Or you could. Mm-hmm.
I think that I don't want to play fireman. I'm not.
Or you could table it until such time as you hear from the fire department.
Well, whatever you think is best. But I would really feel a lot more comfortable. I don't pretend to be an expert on it, but when I look at that, I just feel like that's...
Well, I can tell you that the planning board, the other thing they are very prone to doing, I can't imagine they wouldn't do on this, given the position of the building, is they're going to have this templated, you know, for turning radiuses. You know, Matt and my cab machine, they're going to check this for turning radiuses at the wheelbase of the fire truck. Will fit through these drive-offs.
Right. Right. So,
or if they don't, then the fire chief has got to say they have a safe and acceptable method of fighting this fire, whether the trucks park in the street, they run the hoses, or, you know, I don't know.
Right.
I'm not a fireman either. But
no, I don't want to play, but I'm just not really comfortable with the post.
I'll be honest with you, I look at this and I think to myself, well, okay, there are some issues, there are some real concerns in traffic and accessibility of people and all the rest of stuff into this property. And then I look at it and say, well, what is the hardship if we don't? What is the, you know, why do you need a variance? What hardship do you have by not being able to build this building? And I guess that's a question I have to ask. I mean, you're asking us to, this is a C1, and I have, you know, I think we can look at the zoning and maybe it should all be C1, I don't know. You know, but the point is, it's not. It's adjoining a residential property, and we have those folks that came to us when you first got another variance to say we want that 50 foot maintained.
Mm-hmm. Well, I remember that meeting specifically.
And why would we go change that now? What hardship do you experience from us if we didn't change that?
Well, basically, I'm just trying to keep up with the demand that's out there. So I'm spending a lot of the work for us to put the building. And if someone had a negative input to this meeting, they should be hearing voicing it. I think to use an input from a meeting that was 3 years ago is invalid.
I don't think so. I don't agree with that. I don't know how the rest of the board
knows. Have you spoken to the neighbors?
Well, Jim Cardinale, he's passed away since then.
So who wants to?
But it's the Cardinale.
I don't know anything about it. I wasn't going to mention things. I was just going to, you know, my theory was is that we did have concerns before. But I don't think it's even that as much as it is for me, how tight that's going to be.
We do have a couple of people on here. I don't know, again, Charlene and then just a phone number. And I don't know if they're here for this application or not.
Before we go up to the public, just curious, Mr. Bittengill, I mean, there is a concern with the neighbor. I tend to agree with your logic as far as we can't let one resident make decisions based on zoning code. So I understand that, but there is obviously a legitimate concern that's detrimental to the neighborhood. So we do have to talk about that. It's an important issue. Something to talk about very heavily in this room right here. So I guess Mr. Martin had proposed some possible vegetation, screening, something to alleviate that concern. Is there anything that have you explored that? Do you know what you'd be willing to do? Is there something you could, I mean, I don't know that a line of 6 foot arborvitaes actually makes that better or worse. I mean, I'm just curious, have you put any thought into that as to what you would see there?
Yeah, arborvitaes grow great down there. I have six that I planted probably 5 years ago. They've got to be 30 feet taller. They're on that fence line. I could continue the little planting and just do the whole southern end of the property. But, you know, like I said earlier, the top of this building is going to be below the existing cover of vegetation already. Mm-hmm. But
I think we're losing you again.
Don, can you repeat that last couple sentences?
Yeah, if it helps. Corner of the properties, that would be helpful.
Yeah. I think we can make recommendations to the planning board for that. I think that's probably the best plan to move, I think, on that.
Yeah, well, I think it's a similar thing. Those are two issues. I think we can get the fire alarm rectified fairly, you know, judiciously. That's kind of it is what it is, right? The other question of whether it's a detriment to the neighborhood, I think, is the more critical factor right now in my view. I didn't know what you guys are seeing on that.
Mr. Bittengill, have you spoken to the neighbors about this proposal?
I haven't. Since Jim passed, I know we are pretty busy with this.
Right. I mean, that would be...
They don't have another concern. They never expressed it to me. They don't have issues with that. We've been...
Understood.
I guess my point is this actually makes it more private for them.
There is an argument to that. Right now, you can see down the alley, you can see every single storage unit, every single truck, every single person. Once this goes up a blank wall, they'll no longer be able to see 87 storage units. They'll be able to see one clean steel wall. Mm-hmm. That's what they'll see. You add the vegetation to that beautification, they're making an argument that, I mean,
and it is in this building. The other thing, I just wanted to double check, make sure I understand your notes. In the request here, you talk about side setbacks and everything else. It looks to be by scale, I'm just eyeing it, so it's not a good approach, obviously, but you mentioned the side setbacks of 33 feet to the east, 30 feet to the west. It looks like we're well beyond those distances, and then the 24 to the south. So because of the front and rear conversation in the C1, do we have any, are we just looking for relief on the south setback line?
Correct.
Okay, so that's just supplemental info. All right. So he's well beyond that limit, though. He's 50, 60 feet from the east there.
Yeah.
So, okay. Let's see, we have a Charlene now. Are you here for this application? Charlene? And we have another person that's just showing up as a phone number. I guess is there a... Yes, please go ahead. Yes, please go ahead.
I'm listening on.
Okay, I understand. Charlene?
Listening only.
Okay, thank you.
I recognize the voice.
Okay. Now I won't beat that dead horse anymore.
Well, we don't have anybody to ask any questions.
So we have no public input, so we'll close the public hearing. I think we've discussed this as much as we're going to. We need to. I don't believe we need secret on this matter.
Correct.
The applicant didn't fill it out, thank you. It's always good to do it and be ready. I guess at this point we'll entertain a motion.
Willing to make a motion to approve it based on the caveats that I discussed, and that was that they go before the fire department for approval, that they have no problems from a safety standpoint, and that we recommend, and I know they'll do it anyway, but that we recommend that there's some arborvitaes or something along that line added to that buffer on the back side of it between the R1 zone and the C1 zone.
That's second.
Discussion. I have to say, I tend to be opposed to granting this variance simply on the fact that I don't see where there's a hardship. If every time somebody wants to add something to a commercial property or whatever in their town because they want to make more money, then we will never get stopped taking these variances.
Well, we'll never maintain what the town's vision for the commercial properties is.
Yeah.
I understand, but
in residential applications, though, we have you deduced that because of the irregular lot, because that certain conditions of the lot, would you have, is there anything to say that because it happens to be adjacent to the residential where it's where it's causing the line, he's within his commercial boundaries, he's within the C1 district. The only thing that's really throwing him off is having the residents right next door and not two doors down. So that's kind of my question. Do we encourage the William Street development that is already there, or do we try to limit to where it is there now and not draw any further?
Well, I think, if I can just interject, that I think that most of the times when we give a residential relief, it's usually an older home that was built prior to the zoning, and it doesn't meet the code. This was built from day one with the rules, and he was only able to put, when he came before us the first time, he was only able to put the number of buildings that you see with the lines shown, because the way the code was designed, that was it. He came before the zoning board and we gave relief to add the building out on 32. Now he's coming before us to add from a little back, and that's why I've had a lot of concerns, and that's why I questioned the fire safety and stuff, because when he developed this building and developed this property, he knew what the setback was. That's different than what
Very fair point. Yeah, that's no grandfather and no
And I think that's why I'm wrestling with this so much.
And, yeah, me too, because it's kind of like, yeah, okay, we want to encourage commercial.
Oh, and I agree with you.
But we also want to protect the residential.
And I do also feel very, as far as, you know, the rules have to mean something, right? We grant variance every time, all the time. Why do we have the rules, right? So there is, you know, there's definitely some good logic on that side, too. And again, we already have that meeting. Obviously, we've already granted the variance in the past.
And like you said, in all honesty, he runs a beautiful business. This has nothing to do with any question about what kind of business he is or that we want him to be successful. What the question is are we doing what the town fathers really want as they're looking for, this is the way we want our town to look. This is what we allow. And when we make these variances and stuff, we change that.
And that was my concern with the residential next door. Because that is the guy, I think logistically will work out. Fire trucks. If you have maybe another 10 foot short, yes, we do that. But I don't know how we really suffice and satisfy the neighbor next door. You know, I mean, that's the difficult part.
And your neighbor's
next door. And the neighbor next door, that property, the owner has just passed away. And if that property is put for sale, we have to also look at, from a residential standpoint, does it impact the resale of that property? You know, we have to think about that because we really need to protect the commercial people, we need to protect the residential owners too. So it's a very difficult, this isn't easy. It looks easy on the drawing, but it's not easy.
And it's not any aspersions on your business. I agree with Kevin. You run a very clean, very good business. The town is proud of that. Yeah, this 50 feet for commercial versus residential, to me, makes sense. It's a sensible.
I think it was written in for the purpose that it would keep undue noise and you know, issues like that for the neighbors.
Well, it's a buffer.
That's a buffer.
But it was written for its exact condition. Yeah. It was the exact condition. So we do have a motion.
Yeah, I made a motion. And but after talking to the chairman, I wondered, well, can I make out my motion? I mean, I was feeling that way anyways, and I'm beginning to think maybe I jumped the gun.
I don't know, procedurally.
What procedurally?
Procedurally, you have a motion made and seconded.
You're allowed to make a motion and vote no to it.
I can vote no against my own motion.
Yeah.
Sounds good to me.
To follow the format that I try to always follow, let's review the requirements for an area variance. The first is that a strict application of said dimensional requirements would result in a specified practical difficulty to the applicant. And again, that's, you know, I understand the difficulty is you're not maximizing the profit from your piece of property, but I'm not sure that's such an enormous detriment, hardship. The next is how substantial requested area variances in relation to the requirements. It's a 52% relief.
That's so okay. It's
pretty substantial. Anything over 50% we have tended not to give. next, do you want to speak? I'll be glad to entertain you. Mr. Lidfield?
I think you just thought.
Well, we'll go on. Okay. That the third requirement to grant an area variance is that the difficulty cannot be alleviated by some practical method feasible for the applicant to pursue. And the practical method in this case would be to not build that next building. Fourth is that there would be no substantial change in the character of the neighborhood or detriment to adjoining properties. And I think this is where we get into that 50-foot setback. And I don't really see a whole justification for doing that. So that's just my opinion. Anybody else, please speak up. The next is that variance would not be material detrimental to the purposes chapter for the property in the district in which the property is located or otherwise conflict with the description of purpose of the objectives of the plan of the town. And the variance is requested as minimal variance for to alleviate specific practical difficulty found by the zoning board of appeals to affect the applicant. It is the minimum variance if you want it to be said that the building was necessary. And I guess that's the question. Not necessary, but it's not having the building a major practical difficulty, I guess, is what we're talking about. So, use, and it's not intensive use, and it's not going to be that much of a problem for the neighborhood. It is having that buffer, cutting in half that buffer.
Mm-hmm. It's a substantial
change.
My only thought is, and I respect that, as I'm learning and listening to you guys who have done this for a while, you know, every situation is a learning experience. But for me, this one, it's not going to, I don't see it as significantly impacting the neighbor due to the nature of the business. I could see if there was going to be more traffic or something like that. But that's my own feeling. I understand where you guys are at. But.
Absolutely, Jim, I
guess.
The whole object here is we need to weigh, if there are any variances, we have a lot of leeway. We can weigh the detriment to the community versus the benefit to the applicant. And so that's what we have to decide.
They aren't easy. It's a very hard decision.
I believe it's easy. Any further discussion? Would you poll the board, please?
Mr. Farrell?
Yes.
Mr. Manning?
No.
Mr. Elms?
No.
Mr. Fitzsimmons?
No.
Chairman?
No. So the question is now approved.
And I acknowledge then that I made the motion and then voted no.
Thank you for your input, Mr. Fitzsimmons, and your patience with us.
Good, thanks. Have a great night.
Okay, you too.
Well, I think you made some very good points. Mr. Chairman, I appreciate that.
I agree.
Sometimes I need to be directed, so I need a little bit of help.
That's not hard on the
job. I wonder if there's any way to do this thing like that. You could pull an extra two bays on each one of the existing buildings, still do the setbacks, actually get the same 5,000 feet.
I think the issue, though, is those buildings are prefab.
It's never easy. I just think that this is the job we do is not easy. And I think that it's good that it's not easy. We don't make the decision.
What I give you credit for doing is you look at the applications that were all there. Not everything is beautiful or solar. To be general.
It's a wonderful.
Yeah, but the other thing you can't get caught up on is, you know, the ownership. Because once those buildings are there, he can turn around and sell it. He can sell it tomorrow.
Yes.
So.
Hello. Hi.
Yeah. We're getting to you. Hold on.
We got long winded. We apologize.
Yeah, we just have to hash that out. Sorry about that. Okay. We resolved appeal number. Next is appeal number 830, which is a request of GAG Group LLC, 175 Broad Street. Lunsfall, New York, 1201, for very, very pursuant to Chapter 149, Article 5, Section 149-59A, and Town Law 267B. Applicant is proposing to construct a 2,500 square foot storage facility on property owned by Rasp Inc. at 8 Duke's Way, Antwerp, New York, 1201. It will not meet the required side yard setback in C1. General commercial zones. This property is located at 9.2-8.1 on the town assessment map. Okay. Do we have somebody from GAG Group?
Yes, we have, I believe, Michael Close, Tim Barber, and Mr. Richard.
Can you tell us in some what you're doing?
And this is Tim Barber. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Thank you for identifying yourself. Good evening, gentlemen. What we propose here is if you flip through the blow up of the map, RASP has an existing outdoor storage area that's fenced in with 8 foot high chain link fence that has the vision slots on it to secure the what they have stored in there. Originally, we had hoped to put this building in the back corner of the property on that back fence line, and then realized that pretty much the setback. So after looking at a discussion with the owners, we changed the face configuration and made it fit up towards the front, keeping 98% of it within the storage area, and only going into the setback area at 16 feet as you see down on the plan there. So basically, we try to minimize any impact it would have on the side of our setback.
And this is wholly within the M2 zone.
Okay. Yes.
So it's viewed as an accessory building to the primary use, which is the manufacturing building and offices that you see in the aerial photograph there, the bright white rooftop light.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to locate this building in regards to the...
No, the property line...
Is it here?
Yeah, this one right here.
And that
yeah, that's the fence line right there. So it's right there.
And that's an M... That's zoned M, the property that's on the other side of that lot.
Yes, yes.
So we're not talking about the same surface.
It's not adjoining, like a residential.
It adjoins another M to okay. That's what I thought when I was looking at it.
And then to the north and east, you've got the quarry.
Yes.
So C3 is going up at 9 that carries on top. I thought that was all C3. Where does it switch to M2? Right there?
It switches over right about where that green Gainesville is.
Yes.
That's yep. where it switches over.
Yep.
Gainesville, the Sandpit.
Okay, that's the yep. just beyond.
Yep.
Okay. I think it's C3.
It's right about there, I think, is where it changes, and then it goes down to almost the street there.
I get the map, but it extends a ways beyond this site.
Yes.
In both directions.
Yeah.
So what the property you're impinging on is Cranesville.
Yes, right. That would be the property that's about to happen.
And the other impression I got about this site is it's almost like a campus,
yes.
if you will, of interrelated uses and buildings. And
there again, a very nice, it's industrial property, but it's kept very nice. You never drive by it and think it doesn't look nice. Yes.
That's where that one dugout building.
Yeah,
I thought that was neat.
Yeah, yeah. He built a very interesting building.
I thought they were getting ready for the next bomb.
They may have been, you know.
Yeah, but anyway, so you're building this building that's basically a steel building, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. It's a pre-engineered steel building.
Okay. And it's going to sit on your parking lot?
Okay. Yes, it's going to sit in the entire inside area of the existing fence storage area is a crusher run. There are 6 radius of crusher run that hold in the area currently.
Okay.
So there'll be no increase in impervious area even because... we do, gravel as impervious surface, so there's no sweat or erosion control or anything like that.
Does this require a planning board?
Yes. And the applicant's aware.
Yes.
Explain the relationship a little bit between JAG and RAF. It says that the JAG Group LLC is applying to build a building on property owned by RAF. Is this a sublease kind of agreement, or what's the condition of this?
I couldn't
understand what you said, sorry. Oh, sorry. I'm just asking for a little bit of explanation on the ownership and the lease agreement. The way the appeal is written is that the JAG Group LLC would like to build a storage facility on RAF property. So I'm just curious what the relationship between JAG and RAF is. Who's owning the building?
JAG is a design builder. We're an industrial builder. We're hired by the client, which is RAF.
Yeah.
So the relationship between us, we're the builder and the owner.
Okay, yeah. You're the GC applying on their behalf.
Okay.
And my impression was in speaking with Rich when he brought this in, or Tim when he brought this in, was that the storage is part of, is going to facilitate the process in the building. There's good materials that are used as part of their manufacturing process, and they're going to be stored in this building. So there's a relationship, you know, between the two buildings. Mm-hmm. And now with the need for the location here.
Mm-hmm. So we're saying that if you take down that fence, move it out beyond it. The way this drawing is blown up on this, I think we have the engineer phone. Is that just referring to a note, or is it the general game plan to take down the existing fence, put up in the building, and then reinstall the fence an additional 10 feet away to maintain that privacy? Or what's the fence going to look like when we're done here? The way the note's written, it doesn't usually.
I don't think you're not taking down the fence.
I can't hear.
You're not planning on taking down the existing fence, are you?
No, only in the area that the building shoots out that little corner there, that the fence will be reconnected to that corner, right. As it is right there. And yeah. We're going to take out the existing fence where the front of the building will be right up close to it.
Right, but you're going to leave all the rest of the fence as pre-existing.
That's correct.
Yes,
that's correct.
That was what I assumed when I saw it.
Yeah, but it's just the way that note was written. There was a note referring to the entire chain link. We're saying we're going to actually relocate this because we're drawing a little.
Yeah, no,
a little orthodox.
Yep.
Then just a little orthodox.
So it'll just be across the front right there that we take out.
The building's 25 feet.
So you will see the building then from the road. It won't be enclosed. You will see it from the road. You'll see that corner is in front of it coming down. Now, although it is 100 feet from the road, don't get me wrong. It's
quite that. So,
like, don't get me wrong. They're really visible, I guess, at this point.
Yep.
Can I just ask what the nature of the business is, Brad?
Are you sure?
Go ahead, Ron.
How long that is?
This is Ron Richards. Rask Incorporated is an industrial controls manufacturer. So we build industrial control panels for other industries.
They came before us before. They came before us to go into that building. But I do remember them.
Okay, so you're manufacturing.
Correct.
Okay. And what you've got in this in that storage area is your product. Is that correct? Or is it stone, crushed stone?
The current storage area could handle some of our end products that were able to handle the weather. But we would like to store some other products that are not so easily can handle the weather, and we would like to store them in addition to current inventory.
That makes sense.
Good.
Okay. Well, that helps to clarify to me anyway. I mean, not that it's a big issue for me, but it's, you know, that is a hardship to be able to have to not be able to store things inside.
Right. Their business is doing well, and I'm assuming, and they need a little more storage space.
Yeah, makes sense.
Correct.
That's a good thing. We're happy to hear that.
Yes,
exactly.
That's a good hardship to have. The Cranesville quarry is not expanding beyond into that area.
No, they couldn't. They're subject to a DEC permit as to their mining permit. They're monitored each year by DEC in terms of, you know, where they're excavating, and they have to file a long-term plan, not only for their excavation plan, but for remediation as well.
Mm-hmm. Quite a ways away from the quarry.
Now, the person who was in with the brewery there, she was not particularly happy with the quarry.
Oh, that because, well, yeah, she's kidding.
Yeah, quarry. She was kind of, they were kind of getting close to her property.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then what kind of business do you want?
Right.
Okay. Do we have anything from the public?
No. There was no, we were properly noticed. We did not, no written correspondence, and I see no one on the participant list.
So, I will open the public hearing and close the public hearing. We don't have any public.
So,
anyone have any comments in the board? Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to make a motion that we approve appeal number 830, and then we provide the 16-foot relief required, and allow them to build to the 24 feet to the eve of the building.
I second.
Can we incorporate the findings from the staff report to that motion?
Yes, we're going to add the...
In terms of the area variance requirements.
Do we need a pending site plan approval too, or...?
This will require site plan.
Yes. Yeah, as a matter of fact, our intention is to apply at the for the August meeting of planning board.
I don't have any thoughts on the planning board.
No, I don't either. I think it's pretty cut and dry.
Do we have a second?
Yes.
Okay. Any further discussion?
Mr. Farrell?
Yes.
Mr. Manning?
Yes.
Mr. Elms?
Yes.
Mr. Fitzsimmons?
Yes.
Chair?
Yes. Okay.
Thank you, Board.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good evening, everybody. Hey, Board. Yep. Charlene, you're free to come pick him up.
And he did a record time.
Months earlier,
that's amazing.
In motion for
I'll make a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Make sure Trish gets that meeting minutes first. The next time I'll show it.
You know, I
must have erased her email. I did not. I went back and looked, could not find the meeting.
Email for the last meeting.
So he let me read it quicker, you know, from,
right. Oh, right.
From our June meeting, right? I printed out all of his staff notes and everything, and I looked back right after the